Democracy Concepts presents the first of a two-part audio of In the Wings, part 6 of an 8-part series that discusses fundamental changes to Ghana's democracy. The music is by Kwame and Ray Ellis. Let's talk about our district assembly system, Lisa. Okay, Grandpa. I remember your assertion early on that our district assembly system is weak. It is indeed, my son. You see, the purpose of the district assemblies is to bring development to the localities in our country. How can you say that, Grandpa? Local development is a job of our parliamentarians, isn't it? And who told you that, my son? But that is what our parliamentarians make us believe. Otherwise, why do they make so many promises to develop their localities when they are seeking election? You have raised a very important issue, my son. It is one of the absurdities of our democracy. Parliamentarians are basically lawmakers. It is not their primary duty to develop their localities. So why do they make so many promises to the electorate, Grandpa? Well, that is for our MPs to answer. Parliamentarians know clearly that their primary duty is not local development. Why they make promises to that effect is for them to explain. But Grandpa, why do we have the MPs Common Fund? Wasn't that fund set up purposely for our parliamentarians to develop their localities? My son, that is a very valid question. But once again, it's Parliament which should answer that question. I fail to see the justification for the MPs Common Fund, because it is not the duty of parliamentarians to develop their localities. Perhaps it's a way to enable our MPs to fulfill some of the promises they make. What do you say, Grandpa? Whatever it is, the responsibility for the development of the localities falls squarely on the district assemblies, not on parliamentarians. This democracy of ours. And thinking about it, you are right. MPs probably take the common fund to justify the false image they have created for themselves as agents of local development. So, Grandpa, is the electorate justified when it accuses MPs of not bringing development to their areas? The answer is yes and no, my son. Let's explain, Grandpa. The best MPs can do for their localities is to lobby for projects which fall beyond the ambit of the district assemblies. On that score, if an MP is not able to lobby for any projects, he could be accused of being a failure. That's a yes. Anything else is a no, because the development of the localities is solely the responsibility of the district assemblies. Then MPs should stop parading themselves as agents of local development and refrain from making promises. You couldn't have said it any better, my son. Consider the heightened expectations MPs create in their localities with the promises they make, expectations they cannot satisfy. Why do they always put themselves under such pressure? I guess I should allow you to make your point, Grandpa. Please, let's get back to the district assemblies. Okay then, answer this question. Do you know the number of district assemblies we have in this country? Are you talking about the metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies, Grandpa? Yes, just that. But let me use district assembly for all of them for simplicity. Okay, Grandpa, I have no idea. You don't? Well, let me tell you. In the late 90s, we had 110 district assemblies. The number in 2012 was 216. Now the number is 261. 261 district, municipal and metropolitan assemblies, Grandpa? Yes, we have 261, my son. And what have they done to develop the districts? There should by now be significant increases in the level of development in the districts. You have taken the words out of my mouth, my son. Sadly, that is not the case. Many localities in the districts have seen little or no change since the inception of our fourth Republican democracy. Look at our districts, for example, Grandpa. Our roads are atrocious, and people have grave difficulty transporting basic foodstuffs to the market. And my son, the only hospital is 75 kilometers from here. And in the rainy season, vehicles cannot ply the road that leads to it. Yet we've had a district assembly for close to 25 years. That is very sad. And the situation is not limited to our district only. I see similar situations in many districts of this country on TV and read about them in the newspapers. Grandpa, it is the difficult circumstances in our districts that force the youth to abandon their villages and towns for the cities in search of economic opportunities. Exactly, and you cannot blame them. There is very little economic opportunity in the districts. But Grandpa, it's a little better here. At least there are public latrines in this village. In the city, many people don't have toilets. They defecate into polythene bags and throw them like missiles into the bushes and gutters. It is an eyesore. So you see, my son, we have an elaborate local government system, but it delivers very little by way of improving the livelihoods of the mass of our people. Yet our constitution touts the district assemblies as agents of development. You are right, Grandpa, and I wonder why that is so. Why have the district assemblies, in their various forms, performed so poorly? Three main reasons account for their poor performance. First, our governments have only paid lip service to local development. Economic resources and opportunity remain centralized. That's a good point. Much of what we do is centralized in the national capital. We cannot get many things done if you don't move to the capital. The second reason is that the metropolitan, municipal and district chief executive does not feel obligated to the people in the districts. His obligation and allegiance go to the president and the ruling political party, and he actively pursues their interests rather than those of the people in the districts. Grandpa, the point you just made brings out the inconsistencies in our local government system. The district assemblies are supposed to be free from political party influences, yet the president appoints to the assembly a district chief executive who clearly is a political party person. That's absurd. I see that you are fired up, my son. Grandpa, some things in this nation make one wonder. Well, nevertheless, we must talk about them. That's the only way we may improve things. Now, the third reason for the poor performance of the district assemblies is that the people are not actively involved in the development of the districts. Yes, Grandpa, I remember you made this point at the very beginning. I'm glad you remember. Now let's see how these three factors affect the development of the districts. First, let's consider lip service to local development. Okay, let's go, Grandpa. Do you know why I said our governments have paid lip service to local development? Well, not exactly, Grandpa. The reason is simple. The governments have denied the assemblies of the funds required to deliver development to the districts. But Grandpa, there is the District Assembly's Common Fund. Surely that is a good source of funding for the district assemblies. You are right, my son. That fund exists. But if it provided sufficient funding, why haven't the assemblies seen the levels of development we expect? Well, you have a point, Grandpa. Please continue. When you go back to the city, find that out for yourself. The truth is that the districts don't receive adequate funds to enable them to deliver the developments expected of them. They have to generate supplementary funds from their operational areas. I'm listening, Grandpa. Now, do you know where the district assemblies generate the additional funds from? From tolls and levies on the people and businesses, I guess. You are right. That has been the major revenue source outside the common fund. But tell me, what kind of business activities exist in many districts of our country? Take our district, for example. Nothing significant, Grandpa. Only petty trading and subsistence farming. And how much money can the district assemblies hope to generate from petty traders and subsistence farmers? I wonder, Grandpa. It's nothing to write home about. Indeed, the amount raised may only be sufficient to pay the salaries of the staff of the district assemblies. And you can be sure that corruption among collectors eats into the income from those sources. Exactly. But Grandpa, this situation is likely to continue for a long time. I don't see how that can change. That's exactly the reason why I'm talking to you. Things don't have to stay the same. If the district assemblies are to perform their developmental functions, they must have access to sufficient funds. You may say so, Grandpa, but what can be done to change the situation? I will answer you this way. Tell me, the economic resources of this country, where are they located? I don't understand your question, Grandpa. I will restate it. tell me, the gold, diamonds, bauxite, manganese, cocoa, timber, shea nuts, and all such resources. Where do we find them in this country? Oh, that. In the districts, of course, Grandpa. And where do the revenues from those sources go to? To the government, directly to the central government. And how much of that revenue returns to the district? I am not sure, Grandpa, but I don't think much of it finds its way back to the districts. The District Assembly's Common Fund is only 10% of government revenues. You are right, my son. The revenues generated from the districts trickle back to them only in small drops. Now, can you imagine the difference it will make if the district assemblies received a reasonable share of revenues generated from the resources in their districts? I believe the districts could see more development because they would be in a position to do much more. Exactly, my son. The districts will see more development. And you know what that will mean? What, Grandpa? My son, if the districts see more development, what would that mean for the central government? Well, it's obvious. The burden on the central government will be reduced. You asked a while ago what can be done to change the situation. Do you have your answer now? Are you advocating for the districts to receive a direct share in the revenues generated from the economic resources in the areas, Grandpa? That should be the case, my son. To make the district assemblies truly agents of development, we must craft a system that ensures that they receive a reasonable share of the revenues generated from the economic resources found in them. Grandpa, that's a difficult one. Do you have a formula for sharing those revenues? Yes, I have. I think the district assemblies must receive 40% of national revenues. Wait, Grandpa, wait. I need to understand something. Are you saying that if our district, for example, produces cocoa, gold, diamond, and other resources, it alone should have 40% of the revenues generated from those resources? That would be the ideal. But we cannot do that because some districts have very little by way of resources. Doing that will skew the development of the nation too much in favor of the well-endowed districts. Okay, so you are suggesting that 40% of the revenues generated from our economic resources should be earmarked for all the district assemblies? That is so, my son. Okay, that's clear to me now. So the districts get 40% of the revenues. Then what? There's a formula for sharing the district assembly's common fund. That formula can be improved to take into account the quantum of revenues generated from each district. A district that generates more revenues should receive a share that fairly reflects its output. Grandpa, this arrangement should strengthen the financial base of most district assemblies. Yes, it should. And it could even stimulate the assemblies to generate more revenues. Stimulate them to generate more revenues? How, Grandpa? The knowledge that the more revenues a district generates, the more revenues it receives, can be a catalyst for the assemblies to promote the development and growth of industry in their districts. It could also stimulate entrepreneurship. The districts can promote the development of cottage value addition businesses to generate more revenues for their districts. The district assemblies will no longer sit and wait for handouts from the central government. Their destinies will be in their own hands. I see. When that happens, any district assembly that is not delivering will not have the central government to blame, right? Exactly. Non-performing assemblies will be exposed, and the people will kick the local authority out. This arrangement will make the assemblies answer to the people in the districts. But my son, there are more serious reasons why the districts should receive 40% of national revenues. I'm listening, Grandpa. Giving the district assemblies 40% of national revenues is the fair thing to do. And why do you say that, Grandpa? My son, tell me something. What do towns like Obuasi, Akwetia, Takwa, Isuta, Nkwa Onofin, Pristia, Kede, and Dawasu have in common? They are mining towns. And what can you say for those towns in terms of development? Not very much. Grandpa, it appears that the many decades of mining in those towns brought little development to them. It's really sad. That's exactly my point. A greater share in national revenues should eliminate such situations in the future. I agree with you, Grandpa. Look look at the western region of this country, it produces a bulk of our economic resources, but it has some of the most atrocious roads in this country. That should change. Yes, the same goes for those districts along the Volta River, which, having borne the brunt of the construction of the Akosombo Dam, have nothing to show for by way of development. You are right, Grandpa. This arrangement should end the robbing Peter to pay Paul approach to development in this nation. Yet I have an uncomfortable feeling about your proposal. It would deprive the central government of a huge chunk of revenues. In fact, it will create a deep hole in its revenues. Yes, and you can also add that it will cripple the government's ability to deliver its mandate to the people. So that discredits your plan, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. The benefits of giving 40% of national revenues to the district assemblies far outweigh the perceived shortcomings. Are you sure, Grandpa? And what are the benefits you talk about? First, the perceived hole in government revenues will force our governments to check and eliminate wastage in the government machinery. That's an important point, Grandpa. The wastage of state resources is staggering. Look at all the high-end 4x4 vehicles our government officials driving. I've even heard that some chief executive officers of state-owned enterprises have as many as 3 official vehicles at their disposal, all fueled and chauffeured at the expense of the state. I often ask myself how many bags of cocoa produced by our mostly deprived farmers go to fund such nauseating extravagance. You almost took the wind out of my sail, my son. And you bring me to the next benefit that will accrue to this nation from giving 40% of state revenues to the district assemblies. That will force the state to look critically at the allowances regime that provides high-level public sector workers, ministers, parliamentarians, and political parties hangers-on with vehicles, vehicle maintenance allowance, fuel, water, accommodation, telephone, electricity, travel allowance, entertainment allowance, allowances for attending official meetings, the repeated payments of end-of-service gratuity to parliamentarians, the overly generous gratuity payments to past presidents and high public officials, and so on and so forth. This largesse is happening in a nation that struggles to build schools and hospitals for its people. I don't understand it. But public servants deserve these allowances, don't they, Grandpa? I think they deserve to be comfortable while they work for the state. You are right, they do. But I think the nation is working with the same allowances regime that was crafted to milk the wealth of this nation in colonial times. The levels of remuneration and allowances paid to politicians and high-level public servants amount to slapping the people in the face. What are you saying, Grandpa? Let me ask you. When a man has a wife, children, or some family relations living in his house, should the state provide him with and pay for a garden or just because he's a minister of state or a high state official? Again, must one public servant have 3 official vehicles at his disposal, all chauffeured and fueled at the expense of the state, when all he or she needs to get to work is 1 vehicle? My son, the people who create the world of this nation get by on very little, and it seriously amounts to insulting them when we treat politicians and high public servants who have been trained at the expense of our people by kings and queens by paying them odious allowances. Hey, Grandpa, you are using the language of the young people. You mean to say that some of those allowances are outrageous? Indeed, the state should critically examine the allowances regime for high public servants to reduce the wastage in the government and public services machinery. I agree, Grandpa. And there is more. A lack of easy money for the government to spend forces it to cooperate fully with our anti-corruption agencies to check corruption in all sectors of the economy. You are right. Corruption is one factor that drains the economy needed resources. It would be great to see our governments actively supporting the fight against corruption. I am not done yet, my son. Giving 40% of national revenues to the district assemblies will force our governments to put the loans they contract on behalf of this nation to much better use. You are so right, Grandpa. Our governments have taken so much in loans, and yet we don't see commensurate results. That should surely change. So you see, my son, giving 40% of national revenues to the district assemblies cannot be a bad idea. It will force the state to push for the judicious use of state funds and loans by the government. It will also force the state to curtail the inordinate spending of our limited resources in government extravagance and public sector largesse, and put more fire in the fight against corruption. Well said, Grandpa. I now see that sharing national revenues with the district assemblies isn't such a bad idea after all. Grandpa, you've addressed the problem of inadequate resources in the district assemblies, but you also say that economic opportunity is concentrated in the cities. That is so, my son. You can see that for yourself. Take this village. What is the main economic activity here, apart from farming and trading? It's the same in many other districts. Along the coast, fishing and fish processing are the main economic activities. And much of the economic activity in the district is small scale and subsistent in nature, bringing in only small incomes. And that is the point. Many district assemblies don't have a good base for tax income. They cannot raise sufficient revenues from levies because the economic base is weak. But consider this, my son. The districts hold enormous potential for economic growth. Potential? Which potential, Grandpa? You don't see the potential. Now tell me, in which areas of this country does food rot on the farms? In the rural areas, Grandpa. And where are the rural areas located? In the various districts of this country, Grandpa. Tell me again, where do we have the poorest housing in this country, my son? In the rural areas, I mean the districts. And where are healthcare facilities, sanitation facilities, and schools needed most? Grandpa, in the districts. And in which parts of this country can our tourist sites, colonial legacies, and culture be found? In the districts, Grandpa. But what is your point? My point is that all the needs and untapped resources that exist in the districts represent a great potential for development. Oh, you are suggesting that the districts have needs and resources, and those present opportunities to improve economic activity in their areas. I thought you were not going to wake up, my son. That's exactly my point. The districts hold the key to an economic boom in this country. You are right, Grandpa. But how can we exploit those resources in practical terms? The district assemblies should seek partnerships with private individuals and organizations to develop their areas. Partnerships? In which areas, Grandpa? In all areas, my son. Let's take the area of post-harvest losses. Okay, I'm listening. In the area of post-harvest losses, the district assemblies could identify agricultural products with good potential and seek to promote them. Promote them how? They can identify appropriate technology that adds value to those products through processing. And who will do the processing? The district assembly? And that is where the partnership comes in, my son. The assemblies can team up with private individuals or companies to operate businesses to add value to those products. You are right, Grandpa. Look at all the food that goes to waste because of poor access to markets. And besides, processing can be a source of employment for the local youth. And that is only one example. Look at the houses people living in our villages. Our district assemblies can improve the quality of those houses through similar partnerships. That's an interesting area, Grandpa. The majority of rural houses could do with a lot of improvement. But I'm wondering how that can be done. Have you heard about the soil bricks? Oh, Grandpa. The one molded from clay? Of course. No, I'm not talking about that one. The bricks I'm talking about are made mostly from subsoils and small amounts of cement. With appropriate equipment and training, quality bricks can be produced which are fit for the building of homes, offices, and schools. Yes, you are right. I once read that soil bricks are used widely in the Asian countries and in South Africa. I didn't give it much attention though. But this nation should. Our district assembly should look at soil bricks to improve rural housing. You are right, Grandpa. I also read that soil bricks are cheaper because they are not fired, and that houses built from them are much cooler inside. That is true. and that is why the district assemblies should adopt soil brick technology in their housing development. They should promote the establishment of soil brick businesses and support those businesses by using only soil bricks in their building of offices, schools, and hospitals. And Grandpa, they can also encourage their citizens to use soil bricks for their homes. Exactly. And in that regard, two or more district assemblies can collaborate to set up one or two soil brick companies to serve their districts. A very interesting idea, Grandpa. The assemblies can support the soil brick businesses by providing them with guarantees to acquire the requisite soil brick technology. That's the partnership I'm talking about. Another area in which this sort of partnership will be most beneficial is in the area of healthcare. Yes, let's hear it. I believe that two or more districts with common boundaries can collaborate to establish hospitals or clinics, which can be run by private healthcare personnel. A brilliant idea, my son. And such hospitals can be encouraged to introduce herbal medicine into their systems. Grandpa, the districts also need to look at the education of the youth. They should consider giving scholarships to deserving students. Through that, they will be developing a pool of locals who will work in the companies in which the assemblies have interests. I am glad that you are seeing how development can come to the districts, Risa. This nation needs to adopt serious and pragmatic approaches towards exploiting the economic potential of the districts. That is the key to removing the lack of economic opportunity in the districts. Yes, Grandpa, if such initiatives are extended to the areas of sports, we can unearth a lot of athletes and footballers, and that can be a great source of income for the districts. You are right, my son. Such initiatives can be extended to every sector. Grandpa, I'm already seeing that businesses in cocoa, fish, food processing and cold stores can spring up in many districts of the country. Not only that, we can have businesses in rural housing, schools, hospitals, entertainment, sports, tourism and bioenergy. The potential is just enormous. You are right, Grandpa. But I am beginning to think that things will not be as easy as we've painted them. No doubt about that. No business endeavor is a bed of roses, my son. But that doesn't mean that the idea should be discarded. Progress will be slow in coming, and there will be some failures. But with time and more experience, the assemblies will realize the real benefits of those initiatives. You are right, Grandpa. We should be driven by the possibility of success, rather than by the fear of failure. You got it, my son. And if our district assemblies are welcoming, they can attract more investors into the districts. Yes, Grandpa, but is there any role the state can play in all this? Yes, the state council could catalyze development in the districts. Catalyze? How? It could stimulate the various districts by instituting awards for superior performance. Okay, you are suggesting that the state council should engender competition among the district assemblies as a means of promoting development in the districts. Exactly. But the state council can do something more. It can promote the siting of more investments in the districts instead of in the major cities. Grandpa, I now realize that delivering development to the districts is not beyond our reach. With visionary and committed leadership, we can get there sooner than we think. Exactly, my son. And that brings me to the second reason for the poor performance of our assemblies. That ends the first audio of In the Wings. Stay tuned for part 2. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
This ends the first audio of In the Wings. Stay tuned for the second audio. For more information, visit our website www.paradigmshiftdemocracy.com, where you can download our books for free. Thanks for listening.